Isaiah 9, heading toward Christmas season. I guess we're already in Christmas season. I don't know how we were having Christmas last year, about 3 weeks ago, seemed like, but here we are. Verse 1, Isaiah 9, verse 1. And nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Now notice beginning in verse 2 what it says especially. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments smeared in blood. But this shall be with the burning and fuel of the fire. Then notice in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this. It's on my heart to look at these two words back in verse 6. For unto us, the words unto us. If you read through these first verses from 1 to 6, especially 1 to 5, you'll find a lot of negative. You'll find a whole lot of problems. Talk about darkness, talks about judgment, talks about all kinds of negative things. It reveals a problem with mankind. And then in verse 6, there's a light that comes on and says, for unto us a child is born. I want to deal with that. Unto us. Could I mention first? The problem, I've said in verse 1 through 5, there's a problem. There's an issue. There's some bad stuff going on. I want to mention first, the problem is universal. I think about that in our day. There are times when there's a conflict in this side of the world, a little spot, a couple of countries or an area having conflict. There are times when there's somebody over there and somebody over there. Maybe in the world there's a couple of different conflicts and different problems. We can point toward a particular country and talk about their economic woes. We can talk about this and that scattered throughout the world. But very seldom do we see the whole world having problems like we do now. And God talks about one problem that is universal. It is worldwide. It's more than that. Time has no effect on this problem. The same problem that he talks about in Isaiah that is going on then is going on now. The same problem that's going on now that was going on in Isaiah's day was going on with Adam and Eve after they failed. It'll be a problem that goes all the way through till God finally finishes it up and says, okay, we're starting anew. This problem is sin. It's a universal problem that is afflicted and affecting every person who has ever lived. Every person's born a sinner. He describes it in verse 2 as walking in darkness. Notice what he says. The people that walked in darkness, that is a problem. This problem involves darkness. They walked in darkness. The idea is there's no light at all. There's not even a candle flickering way off in the distance that you can at least see some glimmer of hope. For some reason to rejoice, there's not any hope at all. This darkness is worldwide. It afflicts everyone. It is an overwhelming darkness with no light whatsoever. It has the idea, in fact, the same word is used here that's used in Genesis 1, 2, where it talks about the world was without form, was void, and darkness covered the deep. It's dark. There's no light. And the darkness here is not talking about a real darkness or a genuine darkness or a literal darkness. It's talking about a spiritual darkness. It's a whole lot worse. One thing to get up at night and it be dark. You can turn the light on. But it's something quite else to get up and realize you are in spiritual darkness. That's what he's talking about. It has the idea of no peace, no hope. There's a hopelessness involved. Notice what he says. The people that walked in darkness. Everybody is included. No one is excluded. Nobody can see. That's what it talks about in the New Testament when it talks about in 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. There is a universal problem. Everybody's in the dark. Nobody can see. That's a problem. It's a problem that involves darkness, but it's a problem that involves danger. Notice what it says. And the people that walked in darkness. Now, that's one thing for you to wake up at night in a dark room and everything's pitch dark, and with a few minutes of waiting, your eyes will adjust and you can see the outlines of the furniture and you know where you're at. And you can make your way to the restroom or to the kitchen or whatever. You can find your way and go where you need to somewhat safely, but not in this case. It is so dark, there is no light, and these people are walking. One thing to be in dark and stand still, that's bad enough. But when you're in darkness and you're trying to go somewhere walking, that's even more. That's dangerous. There's a danger involved with this darkness. I'm talking about a universal problem. This is worldwide, everybody. It goes back to Adam, goes ahead to the last person who ever lives before the Lord wraps this thing up. It's universal. It is a thing of darkness. It's a thing of danger. Because when you're in darkness and moving, walking, going somewhere, you introduce an element of danger that's not there when you're standing still. Here's somebody in the jungle in the darkness of midnight. There are no stars. There are no moon. It is pitch dark. And they have no idea where they're at or how to get out. And in the midst of the jungle, there is nothing but green. There's nothing but branches and brambles and all kinds of vipers and all kinds of animals. There's danger everywhere, and they're trying to get out. They're in darkness, but they also are in danger. And walking in elevates and explodes the danger. Here's what I'm saying. They think they're doing right. They think they're going the right way, and they can't even see. That's how mankind is. We are born in darkness, and we think we're right. Before the Lord convicted you, before you saw your sin and had the light turned on, you thought you were okay, but you weren't. You were in darkness and you were in danger of heading to hell. So many people, I've talked to people lately who no doubt from their confession have no idea what it's like. They have no idea what saved is, and yet they think they're doing right. And obviously what they're doing is wrong. They're walking in darkness and they're going the wrong way and think they're going the right way. This universal problem involves darkness. It involves danger. It also involves death. Notice what the verse says. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Oh, that compounds the issue. That makes the problem even worse. It is one thing to be in your bedroom in darkness. It is one thing to try and stumble your way through in darkness and make it to the restroom without tripping over something. But when you are in a place where there is danger everywhere, and the next step you make may be over a cliff, the next step you make may be on the head of a rattler. There is danger involved, and for the life of mankind without God, without Christ, without salvation, they are dead men walking, and they are in a place of danger, and they really don't even realize it. That's my next point. This problem is a universal problem. Everybody's afflicted. It involves darkness and it involves danger. It involves death. It also involves deception. Notice what it says in the verse again. The people that walked in darkness. They don't even know where they're going. Back to the fellow in the jungle. In the daylight, he couldn't find his way out. If there are any trails, he didn't know which trail to take. But the indication here is it is though a man is in the jungle, lost in the darkness, and there are no trails. There are no choices. He has no idea where to go. But he is going and thinking again he's going right. There's a deception involved. They don't know which way to go. They don't know what to do. I remember when the Lord started convicting me. I feel like as though in my spiritual man, whatever there was going on in my heart, I feel like I stumbled into Little White Baptist Church that morning. I was in bad shape. And one of my friends that had already gotten saved surprisingly saw me there, did not expect me to be there by any means. And he said something like, "Well, I'm surprised to see you." And here's what I said to him, "I know I need help." And that's what these people did not have. They did not realize, they did not recognize the condition they were in. It is one thing to be in darkness. It's one thing to be in danger. It's one thing to be in a place where you could drop off dead the next day, but to not realize it, it compounds the problem. There's a universal problem. And one of the worst things about mankind is they really do not realize how much they need Christ. We're born in darkness, satisfied to stay there, and think we're okay. Cain proved this out by presenting an offering to God. And I have no doubt whatsoever, when he finished what he did and he gave the fruits of his garden, the labor he had put his whole life into, there's no doubt, I believe with all my heart, he stepped back in pride and said, "That looks good. God will be happy." But he wasn't. He didn't realize, he couldn't see. He's in darkness. He's blind. He's deceived. And that's why Jesus said, Matthew 13:13, "They seeing not and hearing not, neither do they understand." It's like the church in Revelation that said, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have needed nothing." That's what they thought. That's how they saw themselves. "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The worst thing about this universal problem is every person that's ever breathed God's air thinks they're okay until God begins to show them. And then that's what it's talking about in verse 6. God has turned on the light. Back in verse 2, it mentions it. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." God has turned the light on to show them their need. Thank the Lord for that. So I say first, the problem is universal. There is a bad problem. I have a question. How do you fix this problem? What solution is there? How do you get this world involves everybody who's ever lived? How do you fix this? Well, that brings me to my second point. The plan. God has a plan. But his plan is not like my plan. It's not like your plan, I promise you. So I say first, the problem is universal everywhere. Number two, the plan is unusual. There's a major problem. The world is in darkness, deceived and satisfied and content and think they're okay. They don't recognize their condition. They're content to stay there. That is a problem. So what's the plan? God has a plan, but it sure is unusual. How do you fix this problem? But wait a minute. Can it be fixed? Is it too big? Is it too impossible? Does it reach too far? Is it too big? Well, God fixed the plan. He devised a plan to fix all this. But it's not like my plan. Now, I tell you what my plan would be, and yours probably would be similar. If I was God and the world was in darkness and they were deceived and they didn't see how bad they were and they didn't recognize who I was and how good I had been to them, giving them light every day, giving them food every day, giving them breath every day, giving them the health they had, everything they need I have been given, everything they desire that is required for life, I have been giving them, and they act like they don't even know where I'm at, don't even act like they know who I am or care who I am. Well, I guarantee you one thing, my plan would be like this. I'm telling you who I am, and I'm telling you who you are, and if you want me to fix your problem, you better really start doing good. You better really do things my way. I'm making my list of requirements, and you better meet every one of them. After I've done all I have done, and you are as rotten as you are, and you are as lost as you are, and the problem is as big as it is, I'm telling you, here's my plan. You keep it, or you are doomed. Most of us would have that kind of plan. But that wasn't God's plan. By the way, it is God's plan. Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that fixed the plan. He fixed the plan that can fix the problem of mankind. What's the problem? Sinners, darkness, danger, death. And remind yourself, everybody's involved. There is none righteous, no, not one. Paul said, I know that in me there is nothing good, no good thing. Isaiah 64:6, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm telling you, we're in bad shape. And then in verse 6, here's God's plan. Unto us a child is born and a son is given. Right off I say, what kind of plan is that? Remind yourself what the problem is. A world of individuals who have been born into this world in darkness, in deception, in death, in sin, condemned, and they don't even admit it. And God's plan is to put another man on earth. How is that going to fix the problem? In my mind, to begin with, I think that's not fixing the problem. That's just adding one problem to the problem. Another man is born. But this isn't the ordinary man. This isn't like all the others. He is different. This baby is different. Isaiah 7:14 tells us a little bit about this baby. This is God's plan. It's an unusual plan. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. What did that say? A virgin shall conceive. That tells me that this little boy, this son, is different. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, now, wait a minute. I'm seeing a difference between this little boy than all the other little boys and girls, by the way, that's been born. All the other little boys and girls have been born of Adam and Eve. This one, instead of being born of Adam, is born of God. And his mama had never known a man. She did not conceive in sin. She conceived of the Holy Ghost. God's the one that fathered this child. And that's why this little boy is different. Here's God's plan. To introduce a different son, a different child into the system. He is different. Because he is God. Shall call his name Emmanuel. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. That's Jesus. He's God. He's called Emmanuel because he is Emmanuel. John 1:4, in him was life, and in him was, listen to this, the light of men. The problem is darkness, 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 and here comes the light. This is God's solution. This is God's plan to the problem. But what will men do? What will mankind do with God's plan? Verse 2 of Isaiah. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They saw the light. How will they respond? Verse 11 of John, he came into his own and his own received him not. Here's the plan. Here's this special child, this God child, to take care of the problem. And dumb old mankind says, nope, don't want him. Don't need him. John 1:5, for the light shineth in the darkness. The solution to the problem of darkness is light. And the light shining in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Didn't even realize this little boy. Ain't nothing special about him. He's a little boy. They said the whole time he lived, he claims to be God. Ain't no way he's God. I know where he was born. I know his mom and daddy. I see his brothers and sisters all the time. He's a man. He's a man. No, he's not a man. He's a man, but he's also God. He's a problem fixer. He's a solution. He's God's plan. But they comprehended it or not, they didn't see it. Now, how in the world can you dwell in darkness and light shine? And you don't comprehend it. Well, John tells us that. They love darkness rather than light because the light reveals their evilness, their sin. They don't want that. That's why they turn away from the light. Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has sprung up. And then it continues. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. That's what they didn't like. I ain't going to admit I'm wrong. Sitting in darkness, death, sin. I'm all right. I'm okay. I can handle it. Their pride would not let them say, I need God. I've got a problem that only He can fix. They love their sin too much. Oh. John 3:20. Everyone that dwelleth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Verse 10 says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. God's plan, and I'm just going to quit for tonight, is to send Himself, a perfect, sinless human being that could come in this dark, dark world and live above sin because He was above sin, and then give His sinless body a sacrifice for sinful man. And by them accepting that sacrifice, that problem for them, individuals, me, you, and others, that problem is solved. That's the plan. Father, thank You.